Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, in our study about the project offering for the believer saints in Jerusalem, as it is dealt with in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we find that though much of the emphasis of the chapter is upon giving, the giving of the Corinthian church to this project offering, and indeed the giving of other churches to this project offering, there's a sizable section in the last part of chapter 8 that deals with financial accountability, how this offering, once it has been collected in the various churches, is going to be transported to Jerusalem in such a way that it will be safeguarded in traveling. You're going to do what you can to make sure that it's not easily stolen by somebody else. But, and here's where the emphasis is even stronger, it's going to be observed, the transportation is going to be observed by several people so that nobody can come under suspicion that they take money, that they take anything out of the offering, because there are several financial accountability partners who are watching it and making sure that that doesn't happen. And that's what I'm camping on for a moment, because I'm afraid that too often in the Lord's work, that particular principle that the Apostle Paul makes clear here is something that we all ought to be involved with, all ought to be careful about, is not regularly observed in every case. And I'm making an appeal to consider this. I'm making an appeal more than just to consider this. I'm making an appeal for you to make sure that the finances of your church, the finances that you're involved with in the Lord's work, are carried out in a way that is just as safe and accountable and honorable as the money that is collected by the Apostle Paul. So please join me on this Tuesday, June 6, as we continue this very important portion of God's Word that tells us a great deal about New Testament finances for the work of the Lord. Now, we are noticing that Paul mentions several partners, but let me begin by going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, because it ties in with what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians 16, the first epistle that Paul wrote to Corinth, or at least the first one that's included in our New Testament, makes reference to this project offering. So it predates 2 Corinthians by probably at least a year. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16:1, "Now concerning the collection for the saints." That's the collection we're talking about, this collection for the saints in Jerusalem, which at the time Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians 16 is not an unknown project. It's the way he refers to it here. It's clear that they already know about it. They've already been introduced to it. They're already committed to being involved in it, and now Paul is giving specific instructions for how they are to carry this out. So, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. I've told the churches in Galatia how to carry out this project, how to collect the money for the project, and how to handle the money for the project. I'm telling you the same thing. Verse 2, on the first day of the week, that would be Sunday, of course, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. There is a little bit of ambiguity in verse 2, because we don't know clearly whether he's saying, take up or make your own collection at home, adding to it week by week on Sunday, and then bring it all at one time when I come. That's the way the language sounds, but of course, then that would mean that there would have to be at least one collection when he comes. So there's a little bit of ambiguity here. Is he saying, lay up in your own homes, lay up by yourself personally in store, so that when I come, we can just quickly collect it all at one time, which would seem, as I say, to contradict that he says, so that there will be no collections when I come. Or is what he's saying is, I want you all, each one, to bring your money to the church, and the church is going to collect it and keep it safe until I come, and there won't need to be any collections because there it is. I actually think that second description probably is what Paul is saying here, but the first one could possibly be it. But the point is that this was a special project collection that was in addition to the offerings for the regular expenses of the church. They wouldn't be holding on to those until Paul came. That was their regular giving. That was their giving in support of the ministry of their church. But now in addition to that, Paul says, I want all of you to be involved in this extra giving, this beyond giving, this extra offering, this project offering. I want every one of you to do that. And then he says this in verse 3, and when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem, but if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. So when I come and receive your collection for this project offering, I'm going to join it with the collections from all the other churches involved, the three in Macedonia that we know about, the four in Galatia that we know about, probably some others as well, Ephesus and perhaps others. And we're going to put all this together, and it will be sent to Jerusalem, and if it's suitable to my schedule, I'll travel with it. And when we get to 2 Corinthians 8, where we are now, we learn that Paul does intend to travel to Jerusalem with it. But he says, I want you to approve representatives to make sure that they safeguard and provide accountability for what you have given. When I come, whomever you approve by your letters, whoever is going to serve in this place of accountability partner has to be approved by the churches, and you will write a letter to certify that so-and-so was approved by our church to represent us in this. And that was done by votes of the congregation. Verse 19, and not only that, but who was also chosen, speaking of this unnamed brother, this accountability partner, was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself. By the churches, which I pointed out to you, means by a vote of the congregation, by upraised hands. And so churches voted who would represent them. They selected an individual to represent them in communicating this offering to Jerusalem and providing accountability for it. They voted to give approval to the chosen individual, and they wrote a letter to certify that he's the one that we have chosen. So by your letters. And it turns out that apparently more than one church said, we're going to let this brother represent us. Which brother? Well, verse 18, and we have sent with him, Titus, the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us. So it's not that each church approved their own separate representative, so that there was an individual that represented the Philippian church, and one that represented the Thessalonican church, and one that represented the Berean church, and one that represented the church at Corinth, and so forth. And Paul isn't asking for that, and that's not what they have done. But a number of churches have said, we're going to let this well-known, highly acclaimed gospel preacher be our representative. We have voted to do that. The congregation has approved him, and he's carrying a letter from us to certify that that's whom we have chosen for this purpose. So there is a qualified participant, duly voted upon, approved by the church, and certified by a letter. And then there is another unnamed representative, as we see in verses 20 and 21 and so forth. Let me back up verse 20, avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift which is administered by us, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them, back in verse 18, he says, and we have sent with him, that is with Titus, the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. But now we read verse 22, and we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often proved diligent in many things. And that would be another unnamed brother who is now going to join Titus and this highly acclaimed evangelist. So there are now at least three of them that form a team to carry the money to Jerusalem and to provide accountability. And Paul is going as well. They're going to go with me. And so all of this is to be done so that very, very transparent accountability is taking place. Accountability is taking place in such a way that everyone can see what's being done. They know what's being done. It's public in the churches as to how this is being carried out and who is responsible, who has been chosen to do this, who's traveling with it, who's going to keep an eye on the money, who's going to keep it safe, who's going to provide accountability so that nobody can be accused of taking anything. And that is part of New Testament financial practices and principles. There needs to be financial integrity. There needs to be a system in place to keep offerings safe, to make it very difficult for people to embezzle funds from the church or from other Christian ministries. And so Paul is talking about how this shall be carried out. Accountability partners and financial integrity, because even an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ needs this kind of accountability, financial accountability. And a trustworthy Christian leader will welcome this. And people who observe the work of the Lord, whether in the church or outside the church, need to observe this and see that this is the way finances are conducted among God's people, so that there aren't any people that are getting rich by collecting money for one purpose and using it for themselves, a practice that often takes place, unfortunately, in ministries today. And this is the way finances ought to be conducted in your church, in my church, in all churches. So join me again tomorrow as we continue this. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.